Okay, thank you, Rebbe, for coming. Thank you to the Stern family for hosting us. Shavalat Simcha Nachas in your home, Mitzvah Shal.
Amen.
It's a very appropriate time to speak about Shalom Bayis during this time of the year, the 3 weeks, and we'll explain why in a moment. I think the goal and purpose of this year is going to be a little bit different than our normal, I would say, Shalom Bayis share. And why is that? Normally when we get together to speak about Shalom Bayis, so a lot of it is about things that we're pretty much familiar with. You can read it in a book, you can find a lot of the information online, boils down to having midos tovos, and understanding what man, how he works, and a woman, how she works, and trying to make that work together. That would be classic share. But for everything which we have as Klal Yisrael, there's always a way to do it, which is only Klal Yisrael could do. Like if we were to sit down and to talk about it in front of another group of people who were disconnected completely from Yiddishkeit, or certainly were not Jewish, you would even just try to say the language, or to try to explain it, they would say, I don't know what you're talking about. This doesn't resonate with me. This doesn't make any sense to me. But when we hear it, not only do we say, this makes sense, but we start to understand and to appreciate when we internalize it that this is really the main akuda. And a lot of these teachings that come from Pnimi Satar, which is the inner workings of Tyre. I want to share a lesson together with us, an akuda, a point within Shalom Bayis that from the framework, the perspective of Pnimi Satar is so vital for the healthiness of a Torah of the Jewish home. Now, why is the 3 weeks such an appropriate time to have a discussion about Shalom Bayis? Because Chazal teach us that the Beis HaMikdash is called a Bayis, and the Beis HaMikdash is the Bayis of all of Klal Yisrael. That means that if we were to go to the Beis HaMikdash and we had the right eyes to be able to look around as we would kind of scan and make our way through the Beis HaMikdash, we would be able to see each and every one of our homes somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Because every Jewish home is connected to the communal home, the home of all of Klal Yisrael, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And if there's a fire which is burning in the Beis HaMikdash, because Chazal tells us that every generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we're responsible in some way for the Churban. Churban is something which is continuous. So just stop for a second and to understand what that means. If there's a fire which is burning in the Beis HaMikdash, that means that there is not a single Jewish home which doesn't have a fire burning. I don't think anybody could look at their home and to say that it's perfect in terms of the relationships between husband and wife, or with the children, or whether it's parnasa, which is a struggle, or with the children, or some type of a sickness, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's a fire in every Jewish home. And that's because there's a fire in the Beis HaMikdash. The fire is continuing to burn in the Beis HaMikdash. So unless we understand the root of what does it mean, the Beis HaMikdash, why is there a fire in the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to be able to understand, even though we're trying to do everything right and we're reading up and so on and so forth, and we're following all the Eitzas and the therapists, whatever they're saying, that it seems like there's a fire that every time I step on it, I just can't put it out. And so we're going to read on Tisha B'Av. We're going to read Eicha. And Eicha, which is the best description possible of what Churban Beis HaMikdash means. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who authored Eicha, how does he describe the disaster, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Eicha yashva badad v'haysa kalmana. That there was this beautiful marriage between Kutcher Birchu and Knesset Yisrael, Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And this home, which we both lived in together, so to speak, is now destroyed. And look, he's by himself, and she's by herself, and the home is in ruins. So when the Navi describes what does it mean, destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Galus of Bnei Yisrael, Galus that we're living in, America, Tafshin, Pegimel, what is that? And we read it every single year. It's the collapse of the Jewish home. Always in Pnimi Satar to understand what something is, we have to go to the very first time that it happens. So we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of our Chataim. Like Jeremiah says in Eicha, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim sinned. Klal Yisrael sinned. So we have to understand what sin means. Why sin destroys houses. So we have to go back to the very first Chet, which is the Chet of Adam and Chava. Now, the Chet of Adam and Chava, from a very superficial perspective, is that Hashem told Adam, he said, don't eat from the tree. The tree is off limits. Adam eats from the tree. Now all the curses come into the world, sent out of the Gan Eden, and here we are today. But if we take a look at the Chet of Adam HaRishon from a more mature perspective, from a deeper perspective, we find that really it's a Chet in Shalom Bayis. It's a Chet in Shalom Bayis. It's really what it is. Because here Adam HaRishon was looking around, and he was looking for his mate, he's looking for his Zivug, and he complains to Hashem, and he says, everybody has their mate, and I don't have mine, so Hashem has to make Chava. And Chava, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know, whatever it is, she takes the chait, she takes the etzadah, she presents it to Adam, Adam eats from it. And then Hashem says to Adam, what's going on over here? So Adam says, well, Ha'isha shenasati, buddy, but what did you do? You set me up. You gave me this wife, and she was supposed to help me, and she came and she gave me the eitz. So look what happened from the chait. It wasn't just the chait between Adam and Chava that he went ahead and ate from the tree and had nothing to do with her. Look what evolved from this chait. Hey, welcome.
Sorry.
No problem. So Adam, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and then he has this conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to which the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, Ayeka, where have you gone? To which Chazal say that word Ayeka is from the word Eicha. He says to Adam, Eicha, what's going on? What happened to the home? And you see the lack of harmony, the discord, because Adam is saying it was Chava's fault, and Chava says, what are you looking at me? It was the snake's fault. This is a chet in Shalom Bayis. Look at the destruction of the Jewish home. And really what happened is, if you take a look, the Nachash got in between Adam and Chava. That's what happened. There was supposed to be a bond that Adam and Chava had that was very deep, which was very beautiful, which was very holy. And then the Nachash got in the way, and he was like, he came to Chava, really, he really wasn't supposed to speak to her, really wasn't sneezed at all. Chazal say that terrible things happened even between Nachash and Chava, with which the Arizal says you can't understand it to be literally how he violated Chava, but it was the destruction of the marriage between Adam and Chava. The Nachash got in, and that's the very first chet. So it's not just about the sin of the eating from the Eitz Hadas. What does that mean, eating from the Eitz Hadas? It means that there was an Adam, there was a Chava, there was a beautiful marriage between them, and then the Nachash came in and destroyed the Jewish home. So when we look at what it means, galus that we're in, and we try to understand, what are we doing here 2,000 years? What does it mean that there's no Beis HaMikdash? Well, it was because of Chatoim. Well, it has to go back to the very first chet. Hashem said to Adam, he says, Ayeka, where have you gone? Where's the Jewish home gone? So we take a look at the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what that represents. It means that if there's no Beis HaMikdash, and every generation which goes by, it's still not rebuilt, there's a fire in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a fire in the Jewish home. And it has to do with this here, with this separation between Adam and Chava. Let's try to understand a little bit more. So Chazal have a very powerful statement. Gemara says, Shloisha Shutfin ba'Adam, that there are three partners in the creation of man. There's the husband, and there's the wife, and then there's the Shekhinah. And it's not so easy to be aware of the third partner in the home, because we can't see the Shekhinah, it's not tangible to us, although in some homes the Shekhinah is very tangible. Sometimes you walk into a home and you're like, I feel something different in this home. Doesn't mean that it's not if it's not tangible. But the Shekhinah, because it's in Golus, it's looking for beautiful Jewish homes to reside in. And every Jewish home, every marriage has a third partner, which is called the Shekhinah. So Chazal say, Ish ve'isha, the husband and the wife, im zachu, if they are worthy, then the Shekhinah is b'neihem. And the Shekhinah is amongst them. V'im lav, and if they're not zayche, we'll have to understand what that means, zayche. So then, ish eichalasam, then the fire is a fire which consumes the home. So the Chazal is so deep, look what they say. The word ish is the letters ish with the letter yud. And isha is ish with the letter hey. So he has a fire, she has a fire, but he has a yud and she has a hey. So Chazal is saying, the letter yud and the letter hey spells the name of Hashem. So, if there's harmony in the home, that means that the Shekhinah is there, that means he has his yud, and she has her hay, so then there's an ish v'isha, it's gevaldik. But if there's no Shekhinah, which means that the Yud leaves him, and then the Hay leaves her, so all that's left, say Chazal, is an Eish. And that's the fire which consumed the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the fire which we spoke about, which consumes every Jewish home. That means that on some level, this gap, this separation, this Chayit Adam and Chava, which creates this fire, we can't say that it's complete, that it's to perfection. So Rabbi Nachman explains, and this is the Lashon of Rabbi Nachman, he says, Da Shegesh Emtza'i. For everything which there is in the world, there is an intermedium which bonds two things which are totally different from each other together. So for example, let's say there's people and there's malachim. So the in-between between a human being and a malach is Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu is half of malach and half of a human being. So how are we supposed to bridge the gap between humans and angels that they should be able to interact with, they should coexist? Well, there has to be an in-between. Chazal said that the in-between between a human being and an animal is a monkey, which is why Kofrim say that man evolved from a monkey, because a monkey has a certain intellect. It's actually deeper than that. Chazal say that from the Chet of the Dor HaFlaga, which is the nation, that it really wasn't a nation, it was a time period where the Tower of Babel was built, where they made a Migdal, this huge tower, trying to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal say that those people who rebelled against Hashem were turned into monkeys and into elephants. So there's something very deep about what people say, and that's why elephants are also very sophisticated animals, monkeys and elephants. But with that being said, the monkey is the in-between between humans and animals, so that they should be able to interact. So now, there's nothing more different between a man and a woman. Yeah? They come from two, in Kabbalah, we're talking about two totally ends of the world. It's much farther than Venus and Mars. So, in order to bring this together, what's the medium between Ishi Isha? What's the medium? So Rabbi Nachman explains, the Emsa is called the Shekhinah. To bridge man and woman together, you need something which is way, way beyond even what an Eliyahu HaNavi could do. There has to be the Shekhinah. Because we're so different from each other. If the Shekhinah is not in the home, then there's an Ish in the home. That means that the Yud leaves, and then the Hay leaves, and then what do we have left? We have the Ish. So the Shekhinah is what brings it together. And this we can understand something so profound and so deep. The Torah tells us in Parshas Nasai that if a husband, if he suspects some wrongdoing with his wife, so he can take her to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohen, and they can go through a whole process of Sarta. Now, if the woman is very confident that she didn't do anything wrong, so one of the final stages of that process is that the Kohen takes the name of Hashem, puts it in the water, it dissolves, and she has to drink it like a potion. Now, if she's free, then she's like, it's a very big bracha. She's going to have hay like the children, it's going to be miracles for her. But if not, so then she has a very, very sad ending. But try to understand this for a moment. So the Kohen takes the name of Hashem, he puts it in the water, and Chazal say from here, you see the Mesiris Nefesh to the extent that Hashem is willing to go in order to create harmony between husband and wife. But does this make sense? We're taking the name of Hashem, we're putting it in water, why should we do that? Why does Hashem do that? The answer is because we're not just taking Hashem's name from like out there, like beyond the universe, like outer space. No, that's not what I'm saying. The name of Hashem, which we take and put into the water, that's the Shekhinah between this couple. And this Shekhinah, this name of Hashem between the couple, is going to testify. The Shekhinah itself between this couple is going to testify to say, is there still a holy bond between this couple? That's the Shekhinah. It's not just a name out there. It's not just the name of Hashem which created the world and everything. It is that God. But we're taking the name of Hashem, which is responsible for the shalom between this couple. Let the Shekhinah come itself and to be made and testify for us. Where is this couple holding? And so that's what the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah is, it's a barometer in our lives, which is able to understand truly the healthiness, the wholesomeness of a couple. It comes up in this week's parasha too. I'm just going to mention it. Agam, because anything you find in the parasha related to a time period, it means that it's talking to the Zman. So there's a very interesting Rashi in Parshas Pinchas, which was last week's parasha, where the Torah goes on to explain the different households of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the different Shvatim. And by each and every one of these families, the Torah says, Mishpachas HaChanoichi, Mishpachas HaYeshuvi, everyone begins with a Hey and ends with a Yud. So this is Rashi and HaChanoichi. Notice that it begins with a Hey and ends with a Yud. So Rashi says, why is that? So Rashi says, because since the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, the Umas HaOlam, the Nation of the World, were saying, come on, like these women, they were in Mitzrayim, which is a very decrepit, very low society. There's all types of terrible things going on there. The Jewish women were actually protected, and they weren't violated by the Mitzrayim. So Hashem comes and He says, I sign my name on the Jewish households that the women are completely pure, they're completely clean. Hashem says, what's my name? Yud Hey. And I said, I put the Hey in front of the word Chanechi, I take the Yud, I put it at the end. And Rashi says, Shiftei Ka Eidus Yisrael, that by the Shvatim, the Shem Ka, the letters Yud Hey, Hashem's name, comes to be made on Klal Yisrael, comes to testify by the Jewish people that they are complete, that they're holy, that they're pure. So if it's in last week's parasha, it pertains to the Zman. What that means is that when we're speaking about Shalom Bayis, we're speaking about something much broader. We're talking about Churban Beis HaMikdash. And how do we know, how are we able to gauge the wholesomeness, the establishment of the Jewish home? Well, how much Yud Hey is there in the Jewish home? So in the next part of the Shia, let's try to understand, if we want so much that there should be Shechina in the home, because the success of the marriage and the success of everything in the home is going to be determined by how much Shechina there is in the home. So now the question we have to ask is, how do we get that? How do we get Shechina? And there are many mitzvahs which are like Shechina powerful mitzvahs, for example. We're going to talk about just a few of them, but in passing through, we would be remiss not to just mention a couple. One of them is tzedakah. Chazal say that when we give tzedakah, so it brings Shechina. The way that the Zohar puts it is this, is that Shechina always has to do with the feminine, has to do with malchus, has to do with that quality. So an ani, a poor person who comes to the home, he brings the Shechina with him. And when we give to the poor person, if this is a home which is caught up on the tzedakas, let's say, yeah, and we're giving to the poor person, so the Shechina resides in such a home. Hachanasas Orechim, Chazal say, Hachanasas Orechim brings the Shechina to the home. When you invite a guest into the home, you invite the Shechina to the home. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that the word Hachanasas Orechim, the word Oireach, can be broken into Or, the light of Ches, which he speaks in Kabbalah and Chassidus. It means like the light of from the eighth level. It's a very, very holy thing. When a guest comes into the home, we bring the Shechina to the home. Sometimes it's not so easy, especially for the women, to host. But when we understand that you're bringing the Shechina to the home, it's an investment. It's an investment, such a chesed, because you're bringing the Shechina. It's not just you're hosting somebody. If the Shechina sees that the guest is coming in, the Shechina says, this is the home that I feel welcome in. And there's more. Maybe over the times of getting together and speaking about this topic, we can take them apart one by one. But we're going to focus on just a few today, and we're going to get to that in a moment. First, you have to understand, what does this mean, Yud Hey? What does this mean, specifically, Yud Hey, bringing the Shechina to the home? Sometimes when we don't understand from the tzad of the Kedusha what something is, we can always learn from our enemies what something is. Many times our enemies know the value of special things better than we do. So in recent parashiyos, we had Bilam, and Bilam was hired by Balak to take a big hit at Klal Yisrael. So we can learn from Balak and Bilam, from their attempt in trying to harm the Jewish people, what it was that they were focusing on, from what they saw as being a soft spot, something that was very vulnerable to hit the Jewish people. We can understand from them what it is that we need to do. It's very interesting. The Pasuk says that when Bilam, when he was beholding, observing the Bnei Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael Sheichin Eshvatav. He saw that Bnei Yisrael, that they encamped in a way that it was Sheichin Lishvatav. Like, they resided, each one according to their Shvatav. So note the word Sheichin Lishvatav. Sheichin Lishvatav can also mean that the Shechina was amongst the Shvatav. And the Gemara says so. The pasuk we're all familiar with comes from Bilam. Bilam says, "Matayvu ayalecha Yaakov b'shinaseh Yisrael." He says, "How good and how sweet is the Jewish home." So Chazan say he saw that when they positioned their tents, you know that, you know, it wasn't like country style; it was very much like on top of each other. So the way that the tents of Bnei Yisrael were situated at the time was that, you know, they were living in very close proximity, one tent to the next. But every tent also needs a window, right? You got to get some air in. But the way that it was positioned was that this window was not parallel to the window next door. So whenever you looked out your window, you were looking into somebody else's house next door. You were looking outside. So Bilam looked at that and he said, wow, what a sensitivity to tznius, what a sensitivity to matters of Kedusha. So The lashon of the Gemara is Rasha in Pesli Ahaleim Chuvan Zelaza. He saw that their windows, that their openings, weren't opposite each other, and he says Ruuyin Halal Shetesh Aleim Shchina. In the schlis of that, the Shchina can reside amongst them. That's Bilam said that. I see that the Shchina is amongst them because they're so careful in matters of Kedusha and Tznias. That's Bilam. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says explicitly, Bilam wanted to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalai Tishra Aleim Shechina. He says, don't let the Shechina reside amongst Bnei Yisrael. Meaning, he said, you can have happy lives, everything should go through. As long as there is no Shechina, says Bilam, I'm okay with that. So you see, the Bilam, he wanted to hit Klai Yisrael in a way that it would literally break them. And what was he looking for? What was he making? His attack was against what? It was against the Shechina in the Jewish home. But he pointed to one thing in particular. He says, look at the levels of Tznias in the Jewish homes. And then when he goes from there, and he's not successful with the klalas, with the curses, and he gives them brachas, and he's very frustrated, and so is Balak. So Bilam says to Balak, he says, don't worry. There's one thing, I didn't do it right. I didn't curse them, but I have one more trick up my sleeve. He says, there's a nation, your nation, and the nation of Moab, Midian, and Moab. We're going to send in the women from Moab and Midian, and they're going to go in, and they're going to entice the Jewish men. And when they do that, they're going to entice the Jewish men. They're going to have them bow down to Avodah Zarah, and then to do terrible things with the women, and that's going to wipe them out. And he was right. And there was a plague. 24,000 people died until Pinchas came in. He stepped up, and he killed Zimri and Cosby, and that ended the plague. Well, what did Bilam see? So he wasn't successful in cursing them, but he hit us in the soft spot, which is what? Avodah Zarah and Gilu Arayis and Kedusha. Those are the two things that he was able to zero in on. And when he did so, he caused the Shechina to dissipate, to go away, and that's when we were vulnerable. So many times we could see from the Klipa, which means from the enemy, how they attack, what it is that we need to be very careful about. And it was these two things. It was Avodah Zarah, and it was Gilu Arayis, matters of Kedusha. But this we can explain and understand also as we're zeroing in, as we're coming closer to understanding what it means, this Yod Hey. Why it is that a chassan and a kala, when they get engaged and when they have the marriage, so the minig is that the kala gives as a gift to the chassan a talis. Talis. Why dafka talis? The reason why talis is because in the parsha of Tzitzis, which we say every single day in Kriya Shema, we say about this, the pasuk says, that we wear tzitzis, it's a big mitzvah. V'loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem ashatem zolim lechem. Don't follow your eyes and don't follow your heart. And what does that sound like? Don't follow your eyes and follow your heart. So the Gemara tells us, don't follow your heart means don't follow the ideologies of the nations of the world. Don't follow what is our. The Gemara calls it minus. Don't be a min. Don't be a heretic. Don't fall short of what it means emunah Hashem echad. Watch your eyes. You have to be careful what a person is looking at, that he should have, he should be betzinias, he should have holy eyes. So why is it that the Kala gives the chassan a tzalis? What is she trying to say? She's saying that as we build the Jewish home, if we're going to build this home together, there's an agreement between the two of us of what this tzalis represents. This tzalis represents just to be so careful when it comes to the two things that Bilam was so against, which was Avodah Zarah and matters of Kedusha. That's actually why, by Jewish chassanim, by the Sfaradim, and we just had it on, that the talis goes on top of the chassan and the kala. Like either she presents it at the chuppah or it becomes the chuppah. Why, the talis is the chuppah. Why is that? Because the very first Jewish home is the chuppah. That's the first Jewish home. It's not the home that they're going to have when they leave and they go to their apartment somewhere. That's not the first home. The first Jewish home of every Jewish home is the chuppah. It's very beautiful because the Mefarshim explain, why is that the Jewish home? The chuppah, everybody standing around, that's a Jewish home. So the tzaddikim say as follows. They say because the prototype of every Jewish home is the tent of Avram and Sarah. And the tent of Avram and Sarah was open on all four sides. So when you stand under the chuppah and it's open on all four sides, what you're saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu is, this is the home of Avram and Sarah. And you know why the Shechina resided in the house of Avram and Sarah? Because like we said before, Hachnasas Orchim is a Shechina powerful mitzvah. It brings the Shechina to the home. So what would be a chuppah if there was no Shechina? It's not a chuppah if there's no Shechina. It's not a marriage. That's why a guy and a yid can never make a kiddush and they can never get married. Why? Because they could go through the whole process and the ceremony and give the ring and say, "Here, I'm a kiddush," but you know what? Nothing is happening. It's just a show. Because kiddush means kiddusha. That means that the husband and the wife, that they're creating this bond together, which is a spiritual connection, and there's missing ingredients. He has an neshama, or she has an neshama, and the guy doesn't. So this doesn't fit. This isn't a match. This is no shechina. So that's why the talent says what the Kala gives the Chassan. It's a way of expressing the working together to be able to focus on these two things, which is that we want Shechina in this home. That's going to be the third partner. Ish ve'isha im zachu, if we're zaycha, the Shechina is b'nayim. And that's everything that a Chassan and a Kala want. So what we're seeing from here is that there's a yud and there's a hey. There's a yud which belongs to the ish and there's a hey which belongs to the isha. To be more specific, to be more precise, the ish is most responsible for matters of kedusha. Kedusha sabris is something which is more his domain. And so therefore, that's why the Chazal say that when a bris is done to a Jewish baby boy, so when the orla is removed, so the letter hey is created on the bris. The tip of the baby boy, that's called the letter yud. Did I say hey? It's a letter yod. So that's why the ish has a letter yod. But the woman is more responsible for matters of emunah. The word aim comes over in emunah. That she infuses the home with a sense of Hashem Echad, of emunah. So she provides the strength against avodah zarah. He provides, hopefully, the strength against immorality, kedusha, and upholding standards of kedusha. So when Hashem comes in, he testifies about the Jewish home, and he says, the Shechina resides here, that there's a yod and there's a hay in this home. So to the degree that we uphold levels of kedusha in the home, and we make it a place where it becomes very clear to the children and clear to the couple, the role that Hashem Yisbarach has of Hashem Echad and everything depends on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the more that we're able to develop and to go deeper and to connect more to what it means, a sense of Hashem Echad, it's the fusion of these two things, which is called Yud-Heh, which brings the Shechina to the home. So for this last step of the Shia, this last stage, let's try to apply to the three primary mitzvahs that a woman is given and try to see how that fits into the picture. Chazal tell us that the three mitzvahs which are most connected to a Jewish woman is the mitzvah of Chala, Taras HaMishpacha, and Neiras Shabbos. Those are the three mitzvahs. Based on what we said before, it becomes very clear to us. Chazal say something fascinating. Chazal say, why are these three mitzvahs specific to an isha? So Chazal say, the reason being is because, like we said before, the chet of Adam and Chava was not just an eating from the Eitz HaDa'as. It was a break in the relationship. It was the beginning of Chorban Bayis, of discord. So Chazal say that Adam was called the Chal of Hashem. And because Chava, she gave him to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, she ruined Hashem's Chal. She also shed his blood. She killed Adam, so to speak. And so, because of that, so Anisha has the mitzvah of Nida. And because Chava, she extinguished the light of the world, because Adam was this fiery, great neshama, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that neshama is called a Ner. She put out the fire of Hashem, so she has to light Ner Shabbos. But we see that it all goes back to the chet of Adam and Chava, these three mitzvahs. And we find that it carries on to the homes of Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, and also to Yaakov and Rachel. Where do we see that? Chazal tell us that Sarah had a school in her home, that from Shabbos to Shabbos, that she had a Nani HaKavod which surrounded her home. She had that the bread was warm from Friday to Friday, from Shabbos to Shabbos. And also that the Nair, and we said all three, they had the fire, she had the Nairs which were lit from Shabbos to Shabbos. Hey Jeff. The Nair was lit from Shabbos to Shabbos, that the bread stayed warm from Shabbos to Shabbos, and also that there was this cloud which encircled the tent of Avram and Sarah. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following thing. This should ring a bell. This sounds like something, no? Does this not sound like that the Nair was lit from Shabbos to Shabbos? Does that not sound like Nair Shabbos? That there was this cloud which surrounded the home, that it uplifted the home, which is the Taras HaMishpacha, and the fact that the bread was warm, is that not the mitzvah of Chala? So the Arizal explains, that's because Avram and Sarah came to correct the chet of Adam and Chava. That's what it means, Avram. So you don't just become avos for nothing. You become an avos when you take on the things which matter in this world. And of course we know, the Torah tells us, that with the passing of Sarah, Yitzchak found Rivka, brought her into his home, and poof, everything came back. So there was in the house of Yitzchak and Rivka too. And where do we find it? By Yaakov and Rachel. So this is something that many people don't know. It says that we know that when Yaakov was engaged to Rachel, he gave her simanim so that he would end up with her and not with Leah. He knew that Lavan was a trickster. So Yaakov gave Rachel simanim. What were the simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel? There's different opinions, but according to one sheet in the Medrash, you know what those were? Three simanim. Nida, chad lo hamakas haner. That's what he gave her. So that doesn't just mean signs. It means that he gave her these mitzvahs. So we find it that Adam and Chava were given that mitzvah. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah had that mitzvah. Yitzhak and Rivka had that mitzvah. Yaakov and Rachel. This is the legacy of the Avos and the Imos. So Mamela, we can understand it to explain that when we're trying to bring Shechina to the home, the reason why these mitzvahs are so important is because these are the mitzvahs which bring Shechina to the home. Challah brings Shechina to the home. Now we're not going to take the time now to explain how that is. But what we're seeing from here is that if it goes back to the Chet Adam and Chava, and it was a focal point in this home of Avraham Yitzchak, which every Jewish home is trying to emulate, who doesn't want to be like Yitzchak and Rivka, who doesn't want to be like Yaakov and Rachel? What did they have going? What do Chazal tell us that was so important, that was so critical in that home, was these mitzvahs. And the reason why they're so important, if we look at them on the surface, what would be the big deal if we didn't light Neres Shabbos? Of course, a woman, Jewish woman, she couldn't go on through the week if she didn't have Neres Shabbos. Impossible. But if there wouldn't be Challah, many of us may say, okay, you know, Challah not such a big deal. But when we understand from the Oymik of Chazal what this means, that doing these mitzvahs, it's not just like another check. There are certain mitzvahs which are Shechina powerful mitzvahs, and they bring the Shechina into the home. But when the Shechina is into the home, Im Zachu Shechina Beyan, the bond between Ish Isha, it's a repair in the whole union of Shalom Bayis. So that's what I meant when we started the Shir, is that what makes it different, and that's what Pinyas does, is that it's a perspective where, instead of trying to explain Shalom Bayis in a way where it's very practical, it's very concrete, and many times it comes with a lot of frustration because you feel like you're following the handbook, and it's like, it's still not working. But the reason why is because Chazal have a way of teaching us that if there are certain mitzvahs which are mesugol, not because like a Makubal said it was mesugol, because Chazal are saying that they have that skula to bring the Shechina to the home. But if there's no Shechina in the home, then there's Ish, and then there's Isha, but there's no Yud, and there's no Hay, then there's just fire in the home. Just to be a little bit more specific, why not? And the reason why Shalom Bayis is so important is because, like we started off by saying, everything which happens in the home touches upon Shalom Bayis. It's inescapable. If there's a chayla in the home, if the spouse is not well, or if a child is not well physically, or if it's a parent, and because a parent is not well, it has an effect on the family. So then it's not just like there's somebody sick who needs to be dealt with, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, whatever it is, it affects the couple Shalom Bayis. Is it not? It does. And if there's struggles of parnasa in the home, it's not. You can't just say that it's just a financial issue. No, it's a pressure in the home. She feels it and he feels it, and then, you know, it's hard to go to the market and to buy things, and there's embarrassment and there's complaint. So it's not just that there's a financial struggle, it's Shalom Bayis. And if there's Sagi Lubam, if there's children who are struggling in school, or they're struggling with certain matters in Yiddishkeit, it's not just like we have a struggling child together. It creates Shalom Bayis issues between the couple. So even though you could look at them in a vacuum and say this is an isolated incident, it's not, because it'll always come back and touch the foundation of Shalom Bayis. That's why it's so critical, because whatever happens in the home doesn't escape the aside of the home, which is the Inyan of Shalom. I would say as follows, that these three mitzvahs correspond to these three things. And of course, they blend together and there's overlap. But Tzar Gidol Banim connects most to the Inyan of Ner Shabbos. And that's why you see that many women are so passionate when it comes to Ner Shabbos and the special tefillah, which I said, when it comes to the Ner Shabbos, the Chazon Ish used to say that sometimes you find that there's a beautiful Jewish Torah Dekom, and then there's a collapse, and then one generation, two generations, there's like no Yiddishkeit in the home, but somehow, some way, it finds its way back. So the Chazon Ish said, how does that happen? It's a miracle. He says, the reason why that happened is because the Alta Babi, when she would light Ner Shabbos, she would shed tears. Then her children and her grandchildren and her great children, that they should be connected. And Hashem, he takes those tears and he puts it in a special flask and says, don't forget such tears. If it's not this generation, it's going to be another generation. I was there. I wasn't by the Chazon Ish, but I was by my Rebbe, Ruchai Brim Zatzal, who was a Talmud Mubak of the Chazon Ish. He was one of his closest Talmidim. And there was a guest who was with us, and he came to Chaim Brim, and he said to him, talking, many generations of no Yiddishkeit, and finally we're back to Dalakel. He was a Sephardi. So he said to Chaim Brim, he says, you know why that happened? I'll tell you, because the Chazon Ish said that your grandmother was shed tears, and she cried that you should be like this today. Hashem doesn't forget such tears. But the Inyan of Ner Shabbos, because we're talking about Neshamas, So the Yiddish neshamas, the neshamas of our children, Ner Shabbos has a way like no other way. Those moments by the Ner Shabbos is the most special and precious opportunity which we have throughout the entire week to impact the success of our children. That's Ner Shabbos. When it comes to the Indian of Challah, Challah has to do with health. Because the word Challah comes from the word Choyli, comes from the word sickness. And so although we call the Challah on the table Challah, that's not really the actual Challah. The actual Challah is the Challah which we separate, which goes into the tin foil, yeah? And goes into the garbage because we can't give it to the... That's the Challah! So why are we calling the other stuff Challah? The reason why we're calling it Challah is because it has the skulas of that Challah. And when we eat it, it's mesugal for all types of refuas for people to have to eat that challah. So when we take off that challah and it goes into the garbage, it's like separating a sickness from the challah. Only a kohen is able to eat it. A kohen has the healthiness to be able to eat that, but a regular person can't eat that. It's just going to cause them sickness. So we take out that sickness, we take out that chayli, and then you have this beautiful challah. So having the challah on Shabbos is a segula for refuas. But it touches on this aspect of Shalom Bayis, which is that when there's physical pain, when there's physical suffering, when there's machalas, lo alina, that people have, how that affects Shalom Bayis, the cure and the antidote for that is challah. And when it comes to Taras HaMishpacha, to the mitzvah of Nida, so Chazal say that the word dam also comes from the word damim. Money is damim. Damim. And so, therefore, when there's taras mishpacha and it's a mitzvah between husbands, it doesn't just fall on the wife, it falls on the couple together, but then when they succeed in that mitzvah, so then there's kedushas damim, which means to say that the damim, the money, that the hatzlacha, the parnas in the home, comes in accordance to the levels of taras mishpacha. So these three mitzvahs, they correspond to what we just said, to health, to tzagi lebalim, to children, tayridik children, beautiful zisa children, and also to parnas into the home, corresponding to these three mitzvahs. Everything which we're talking about today is a pasuk in Tehillim. And we'll end with this in just a couple of gematrias. David Malach says in Kapitel Kuf Chaf Zayin, he says the following thing. He says, Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo. Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo. And it's Gedai Kapitel to say every day for Shalom Bayis. He says this. Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo. This is a shir. This is a song of ascent of Shlomo HaMalach. If Hashem lo yivne bayis, if Hashem doesn't build the home, shav amlu bainat bo, that the ones who are building it are just wasting their time. That's Shlomo HaMalach. He built the Beis HaMikdash, but Chazal say that really Shlomo didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem built the Beis HaMikdash. That means that every Jewish home needs Hashem to build it, because like we said before, every Jewish home is just part of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMalach, who built the Beis HaMikdash, he had the chachma to be able to say, listen everybody, if you think that you're going to build your home and it's just you and you're reading all the books and you're putting in all the effort but Hashem is not involved, so again, listen to it again. Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo, but listen carefully. Shlomo comes from the word Shalom, does it not? Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo. Chazal says Shlomo HaMelech Shehashalom Shalom. Hashem is called the king that peace belongs to him. He rules over all peace. So Shir HaMa'alos L'Shlomo. It also means if you want to be song in the home, if you want to be harmony in the home, it should be musical in the home. Hashem lo yivne bayis, if Hashem doesn't build a home, shav amlu bayna bo. So it's just futile. Your efforts are down the drain. And that's what we're saying. You can have an ish and an isha, and they're very good people, and they're working hard, and they mean well. But if there's no shechin in the home, then there's a fire in the home. Shehem alas hashlami. So just for derech gematria, it's always nice to end off this way. We said before that the churban of the Beis HaMikdash has to do with the word Eicha. And that was the word that Hashem said to Adam HaRishon. He says, Ayaka, where have you gone? Chazal say that's the word Eicha, which means that the churban Beis HaMikdash and Adam HaRishon and Chava, it's really the same thing. It's really just a chet and shalom bayis. If you take the word Eicha and you spell it out, it's called a miloy. This very common gematria tool in the words of the Arizal, which means that, you know, every letter has many letters to it. So an aleph, if you spell it out, is aleph lamed pei, and a yud, right? It's a yud vav and a dal. If you do that to the word eicha, which means then you spell it out, there's a lot more words, a lot more letters. So that's gematria 246. Okay? That's gematria nida chadla hadlaka, which means to say, right? To repair that eicha, which means that building the Beis HaMikdash doesn't just mean building the edifice. Right? Even if we went today and we built the Beis HaMikdash, would that be the Beis HaMikdash? Would we be so happy? Would we celebrate that? Now, what does it mean that there's a mosque on top of the Beis HaMikdash? It means to say that the Shechin is not there. So you can have a temple instituted to make all the kelim, and but if there's no Shechina, then there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's just a temple. It's not a Beis HaMikdash. To repair that Eicha requires you things. Why is that? Because it brings the Shechina to the home. That's why. So we said before, if you take the word Shir, and you do the same thing, you spell it out. Shir Hamalis L'Shleim. So if you spell out the word Shir, it would be Gematria 890. Again, Nida Chadla Hadlakasner. A little bit different, but the same formula. It's these three mitzvahs. And if you take Eicha Yashva, it's 352. Again, it's the same thing. It's Gematria Nida Chala Ner. So you're finding in different forms, and different numbers, in different ways, but it keeps coming back to this point. That there are certain mitzvahs which bring the Shechina to the home. And these mitzvahs are so important, and it's the schus that the Isha has, that it falls on her shoulders, these three mitzvahs, because this is the single most important ingredient in having Shalom Bayis, is having the Shechina in the home. So before giving over the shir, I spoke to Natalie earlier this morning, and I said that I was hoping that in presenting this shir and talking about these three mitzvahs that as it pertains to Shalom Bayis, I said I hope that would be a nice idea that in the coming year in Mitzvah Shem, that these are mitzvahs that we can explore. That we should try to learn a little bit about, well, what does it mean the mitzvah of challah? Not just the halachas, yes, the halachas, but what does it mean the pnimius of the mitzvah of challah? I would love to know more. I mean myself too. I would love to know more about the mitzvah of challah. What does it mean the mitzvah of challah? So that I can do it and then I can appreciate what that means. And the mitzvah of halakas aner. What does it mean neres shamas? And there's so much beautiful tirat what that means. And to the Indian of taras mishpacha, which always can use tweaking and chazuring those halachas, because it's so important, and there are many, many, many. So I'm hoping that in the coming year, Mitzvah Shem will have the opportunity. There will be me or through other speakers, but we'll try to delve into these mitzvahs more so that we can appreciate the halachas of them and the pnimis of them. And in doing so, Mitzvah Shem will be zeicha that the Shechina will reside in each and every one of our homes. Will be zeicha to parnasa b'shefa and to nachas from the children and good health. And without, will be zeicha to build the bayis shlishi. Shema Mitzvah Shem. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.